Today I want to speak about wills. About wills. And over the past year, the last year and a half, actually, we've had probably between Murfreesboro and our area here, we've had probably 10 or 11 funerals in the church. And just recently, for our personal family, Pat and I, Pat's aunt died at the age of 92. And she was the baby girl. I think there was about six of them. Was that right, Pat? About six in the her brothers and sisters and her. She had one sister, and the others were brothers. She was the baby at age 92. Lived a very long life, and in fact, all of them lived in their 90s. I was asked to conduct the funeral. This was 2 weeks ago over in East Tennessee, which is where we went, of course. Anyway, her aunt was a lady that lived a very, very blessed life. Her and her husband owned a very successful business, and one of the things about both of them, they were extremely generous to anybody in the neighborhood over there in the little church that they went to. I think they went to a Baptist church, but they were very, very generous with what God blessed them with. And they lived a very happy life, had a wonderful marriage. I think their motto was, you know, let's make every day happy. And that's the way they treated each other. And it was a really good life for both of them. And they had a peaceful life. Well, many years ago, they had a lawyer to draw up their wills. Now, this could have been probably, you know, 25, 30, or 40 years ago. I don't know when they had the wills drawn up. But at that time, they had a niece of one of her older brothers to be the executrix of the wills. And so, anyway, when Pat's aunt died, the niece is now in probably her middle to late 80s herself. And she can't find the will. And so they went back and they made contact with the lawyer, who is also extremely up in age. And he said that he has no idea where the will is because he retired over 20 years ago and has done away with all of his files. You know, so what a predicament that they're in. And all of us know that eventually we're all going to die. And just as Solomon said, he says, you know, in Ecclesiastes 9:5 there, he says, you know, the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. You know, and he says, you know, enjoy your life, you know, the blessings that God gives you. And that's exactly what they did. But is what happens when you die, everything that you have accumulated in this life will go to someone else. If you want your desires known to where that is to go, you're going to have a will and probably have one where everybody can find it, I guess. But if you don't, you die intestate, which is when the state then takes over, then they will decide what to do with what you have left. And so if you don't have a will, might be a good idea to think about having one made and have one of your children, you know, to be in charge of it. It will save your family a whole lot of trouble. So something to keep in mind on that. And which, it's our thoughts and our desires that are personal to each and every one of us. And a will is a formal document that tells what your desires are. Which brings us into the main part of the sermon here is that, you know, what desires does God have, you know, for us to be true disciples and followers of our Savior Jesus Christ? We must know what the will of God is. And by the way, that is the title of today's sermon is, what is the will of God? Today we're just going to skim over the surface of what God's will is, what His desires are. It would be very hard to go over everything from cover to cover of what God's desires are. But we will skim over the surface here to give us a really good idea of the many facets of God's will. There are some prerequisites that we should think about in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. It says, we are to keep God's commandments, and we are to do what is pleasing in His sight. We are to live a life that is pleasing in His sight, and to keep His commandments. And then there's another one in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. It says that we really must believe. We have to have belief in our heart that Jesus Christ did come and die and pay the price for our sins and our infirmities. And that's also something when we are called upon to anoint somebody, we must really believe that God is in charge, and that whatever God's will is, we will accept it. Whether God wants to heal or not heal at this time, we have to believe that God is in charge, and that Jesus Christ did pay the price. These are some things that we need to have. But to know the will of God, this falls right in line with that as well, too, is our full surrender to God and to allow Him to expose His will to us, what His desires are for us. We do know what the bottom line is, and that is that it's God's will that His human children learn and live by His laws and His statutes, which are His holy days, which tells that the master plan of salvation for us to learn and to know and to keep. And choosing to live His way of life, we have to choose that. The angels were created before the universe was created, but they had choice as well, too. And some chose to follow Satan, and he had a choice as well, too. He was Lucifer then, but we have a choice. We have to choose God's way of life in our human life here, which is His very character. We have to live by the very character of God the Father and His Son, Jesus the Christ. We do this by following the example of Jesus Christ. He has the exact roadmap for us to follow in our attitudes and what we should be doing here on earth. And it's also God's not only will, but His purpose is that He is producing His very own children to be in His family and live with Him in the spirit realm forever. Again, God is producing His family. And this life that we're living temporarily here in this physical form that has all of its problems, as we know, there's many people sick, many people dying. We are in a temporary tent that the Bible kind of refers to it that we are living in, and it's temporary on purpose. God didn't intend for us to live forever, of course, in this body, but He is putting together His family, and He is teaching us how we should think and how we should live and how we should be for us to live forever. And choose to do this, to live forever with Him. We have much to learn and much to overcome in this life. God will not produce robots. We have to grow in character. We have to choose. With the help and the power of God's Holy Spirit living in us, after we're baptized, our past sins forgiven, hands laid on us to receive God's Holy Spirit. With God's Holy Spirit living in us and working in us, God the Father calls us, and then He turns us over to His Son, Jesus the Christ, to work with us. And if we are willing to choose to work with this way of life, then we can have eternal life. Our Heavenly Father has to know. He has to know positively if He can trust us enough before He decides to entrust us with eternal life. And so we're in this process of conversion. It was mentioned there in the sermonette about conversion. And it is a process. We humans are created much lower than the angels. But eventually, one day, we will be judging the angels, and we will be above them. with discernment and knowledge as well. So where do we look and find the character and the will of God? Well, we are extremely blessed, as you know, in this modern age to have God's Holy Bible that is printed, the number one seller almost every year. I think it is every year, the number one selling book that has ever been printed. And this book was written by God himself. He inspired men to put it on paper. And so we are blessed to be able to open up a book. And if we take the time to sit down and go through scripture by scripture, God wants to talk with us. And we have to have our mind open to receive what he wants to tell us, what he wants to teach us. So that's where we find the will of God and learning his character. For those of us who are called to know God's will, God's truth, again, he speaks to us through the scriptures. Now, he wants to hear from us what our thoughts and desires are, what our will is in our prayers. And he can also read that also in our hearts. He looks on our hearts. He can read our hearts. And when we say our prayers to God, he wants our hearts to be in it and be truthful. And he wants to hear from us, and then he will, through the scriptures, he will speak back to us. But not everybody can just pick up the Bible and to understand and discern what it says. Not everybody can do that. God the Father, again, he has to call us and give us the opportunity to want to learn his way of life. And again, it takes the power of God's Holy Spirit for us to understand or discern anything. There are people that I have had come to me and say, you know, I read the Bible, but I don't understand a thing at all. Matter of fact, there is a man that I've known since about 1970, and he lives in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Goes to one of the Sunday-going churches, and he sent me an email the other day. And he says, I'm reading in the book of Revelation, and he says, and I've read in Daniel, and he says, I can't understand a thing that they're talking about. And he says, can you help? And I sent an email back. I says, yes, I will send you some booklets. And I did. He sent me an email back yesterday. And he says, I got the booklets and I'm reading. And he is on fire. So we'll see how this plays out. So, again, where is a good place to start? You know, when I counsel someone that is interested in coming to church, you know, I start with the meaning of the Sabbath. I start explaining, yes, you know, from Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, this is God's holy time, and that is the Sabbath that we must keep. And if that doesn't shock them too bad, then I go on with God's holy days to explain what they're about and what opportunities we have there if we're willing to look into those and read those. And then I explain who Jesus is and what his part is in our salvation. And then we go on to the Ten Commandments and why we must repent of our sins and so on. And all this is just the beginning of learning the will of God. This is just the start. We try not to dump the whole load on somebody, the whole truckload on somebody all at once. It may overwhelm them and can hurt them even more, you know. So we kind of piecemeal it out to see how their reaction is, and if they're still hungering and thirsting for that knowledge, then we can feed them more as we go along. You know, and again, today we're just going to go over and skim the surface of what God's will is. In Psalms 32, verse 8, it says, I will instruct you, I will teach you, in the way you should go, I will guide you with my eye. That gives us a pretty good indication right there that God does have an interest in us. He says, I will teach you and I will guide you with my eye. He will keep an eye on us. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you can jot these down. I'll be going kind of rapidly through these. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. We should walk in God's way of life. That's what he's talking about. And he has prepared these beforehand. He prepared all of this before he created the universe. Also in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That means every worry. Lay aside every worry and the sin that goes along with all these worries, which so easily ensnares us. Yes, we can worry about things that will probably never happen and can also cause us to sin along the way. It can ensnare us if we take on worries. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The race that is set before us is our physical life that we're living in right now. And he talked there about, you know, so great a cloud of witnesses. Those are angels. Those are angels that are about us right this very second. Our Heavenly Father desires that we know his will. He desires that we know his will, what he thinks, and what he wants us to be forever. God is showing us how he wants us to live our lives. Again, in Ephesians 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If we choose to just float through this life, you know, doing what comes naturally, just going along with the crowd, so to speak, that would be unwise. To be wise, we had better be thinking what God's will is and what he wants us to do. If you just float along with the crowd in this life, it's not going to be much of a life. In Psalms chapter 37, verse 23, God tells us that he has a definite plan for us. It says, the steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. You know, the way that we live our lives is directed by God if we choose to allow him to do it. Again, we have to choose to allow ourselves to be directed by God and not just some culture thing that is going on TV or in the movies or our friends that we work with. And then also in Isaiah 58:11, it says, the Lord will guide you, how long? He will guide you continually. If you make an effort to want to follow the steps of Jesus Christ and be obedient to God's commandments, he will be with us continually. He will guide us continually and satisfy your soul in drought, you know, in tough times. He'll satisfy your soul. He is not going to let us starve to death. And he will strengthen your bones, it says. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. We will have life in us. We will have zest. We will be blessed if we allow ourselves to be guided by our Heavenly Father. And again, before God created this earth, before he created any of the planets or any of the universe, he created spirit beings. I mentioned a little bit earlier there about the angels, you know, that great host that is around us. He created angels, and they were created for many different purposes. And one of those purposes is to guide us humans. We have angels that God has assigned to each and every one of us. And his angels, you know, this is day and night. Angels don't have to sleep. They're spirit beings. They don't get tired. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be a spirit being? Not to be an angel, because they are different. God created them for purposes to to do certain projects and jobs for him. And one of them, of course, is to guide us humans, to help us along. They are also God's messengers to us. You know, I have heard many examples from several people that I've had conversations with about things that happened that was very, very unusual. Like they heard voices. I know when I was in the Cincinnati church many years ago, there was a man there that he was traveling down the road and he went to sleep at the wheel. And he heard this voice in his ear that said, "Wake up, wake up." And he grabbed the wheel and turned it just enough to get past a semi-truck that was stopped on the road. And he knew that he heard that voice in his ears. "Wake up, wake up." And God's angels are there to protect us. They are messengers for us. In Psalms 91, and then in verses 9 through 12, it tells us more about angels being assigned to us. We are told there in verse 9, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge," you know, because we depend on the Lord as our refuge, our place to go to depend on, "even the Most High, your habitation," that you know, we make him our dwelling place. We want to be around him. He is our protection. And then in verse 10, "No evil shall befall you," if we do that. If we depend on God, if we make him our habitation, our dwelling place, our place to go to when we are in need and help and communication with him, "no evil shall befall us, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." Now that is really good. Can you imagine all of the different plagues that have been down through the centuries? And a lot of the old ones are coming back alive. And God can allow these things to happen. But he tells us here that if we're depending on him, that no plague shall come near your dwelling. Verse 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over you." Why? "To keep you in your ways." To keep us in God's ways, he puts these angels in charge over us to guide us and to tell us when we're about to do something wrong. We will hear a voice in our head that will tell us, "Hey, you're going the wrong way, guy." "They shall bear you up." They shall lift you up, is what it means. They're to bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Well, this could be a metaphor, of course, you know, for any kind of a problem that we may have. That will lift us up to keep us from the danger of what we're about to get into. It could be something that is out of our control completely, or it's something that we have maybe made a bad choice about. The angels will lift us up and will guide us. That's what they are told to do by God the Father and Jesus Christ. It is God's will that we are filled with his knowledge. He wants us to be filled with his knowledge. Again, he has to know if he can trust us enough to be turned into a spirit being that will live forever. His family, there will be none that will offend in his family. And he is harvesting humans to be turned into spirit beings. In Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul was writing, and he was writing to the faithful brethren, those that believed, those that were obeying God. He was writing to the faithful brethren in Christ, that they're in Colossae. And then starting in verse 7, he said, "As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf." You know, he was talking to Paul about them, about the brethren there in Colossae. In verse 8, he says here, "who also declared to us your love in the Spirit." Verse 9, For this reason, we also, since we heard this, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all of His wisdom and His spiritual understanding. God wants us to know how He thinks. He wants us to have His knowledge in us. Then in verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Again, that is one of the prerequisites, of course, of, I think, God's healing and to come before God's throne. We want to be pleasing before God. We want to have that reverence and that respect for our Creator that created us. And to believe what Jesus Christ did for us. And He wants us to be pleasing to Him, being fruitful in every good work and in increasing in the knowledge of God. Learning and growing is what God wants us to do in this life, this very short life that is a blink of the eye to Him, of course. He wants us to be learning and growing in His ways, in His character. Also, it is God's will that we have self-control over our own bodies. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness is the way He wants us to live our lives." And then He goes on to say, "We are to live a life keeping our garments clean." Keeping our garments clean. God looks on our hearts. We can't lie to Him. We can't fool Him. He reads our hearts. He knows if our garments are clean or not, if we are having evil thoughts, unclean thoughts. He knows that. But He wants us to know that He is watching us, and He wants us to keep our garments clean. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we are to live by His example. And God is looking at us. He has His angels around us. His angels go back to Him, and they report on us. We need to help so-and-so in this way or that way. And it is God's will that we study His Word. We have our Bibles in front of us. We probably have several of them at our houses. But we have to make sure that we open God's Word, that we study His Word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Apostle Paul again says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, one that is keeping his garments clean, one that is living by God's way of life." He wants us to be a worker for Him that is shedding the light that God wants us to be an example for other people. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly studying. Reading the words and discerning what God's truth is. That's how we learn God's will and what He expects of us and what He wants from us. And in 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul again says, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." Most of us that are called by God from childhood have known God's Holy Scriptures, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." We need to choose and we need to take the effort to study God's Word, to have it ingrained in our hearts and our minds, and in our habits. You know, our habits are built on what we think. Just like we are what we eat, in the thoughts and the things that we allow ourselves to be exposed to, whether it's on TV or gossip or whatever it is, our habits are built around how we think. But the habits that God wants us to have that makes us wise is to be thinking on the will of God. What does He expect of us? What does He want us to do? And Paul goes on to say in verse 16, of course, you know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I mentioned earlier that, you know, God has written the words in the Bible, and He had men to write it down. And it's profitable, he says here, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then in verse 17, that the man of God may be complete. God's desire and will, he wants us to be complete in his knowledge, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God will put his works before us to do. And it's our job to let his light, his life, shine through us. And our habits need to reflect that. Study God's word daily. We need that spiritual food. We need God's spiritual food daily. We can starve to death spiritually if we don't be fed by God's word daily. Now in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, it says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We will not be barren. We will be growing. We will have fruitful things that we will be doing in the knowledge. "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted," very short-sighted, living by what comes naturally in this physical life, which ends up in death, "even to blindness, and has forgotten that he is purged of his old sins." Now, the blindness he's talking about here is not physical blindness. He's talking about spiritual blindness. Some people will say, well, you know, like my friend in Atlanta there, he says, you know, I'm reading the book of Revelation and also Daniel, but I can't understand a word. Okay? The man is not physically blind, he is spiritually blind. And if we are once, you know, exposed to God's truth, you know, we have to keep being fed God's word. Otherwise, you know, we'll even forget that we were cleansed of our sins. We want to make our election sure, our calling, our election sure. We must be diligent in studying God's word to make sure that our election is sure. "For if you do these things, you will not stumble. God's angels that were sent to protect us and to guide us will guide us. We won't stumble. Verse 11, "For so as an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." If we keep on learning and growing the character of God, we will have that entrance supplied to us into God's everlasting kingdom. How wonderful that is. You know, you talk to somebody and they say, well, you know, this life, I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. And, you know, they kind of think of themselves as, you know, not worth much. But when it comes down to dying right there on the spot, they kind of change their mind real quick. And they start thinking about, yes, is this dying forever and ever? Is there someone that can help me, someone that can save me? When it comes right down to it, all humans will count our life very, very precious. And it is God's will, that we know his will, how he thinks, but through prayer and fasting, that's how we can do it, because it's his will that through prayer and fasting and obedient to his commandments is what he wants us to be on. These are just some of, you know, like I said, we're skimming over just a few of the things that God has willed for us and desired for us. Keeping his commandments, being obedient, and through prayer and fasting, that relationship, that contact with him. Let's read about Daniel's prayer. This is in Daniel 9, verses 3 and 4. And Daniel said, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications." What are supplications? Showing his attitude there that is very, very humble before God. very humble before God in his prayers with fasting, sackcloth and ashes, realizing that he is temporary. Me and you are temporary. We live in this flesh that is decaying as we are sitting here right now. Then in verse 4, and I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, confessed his sins. God, I'm sorry for doing this. Please grant me repentance. Help me to overcome this. Help me to be an overcomer. And then he said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy. Thank God for his mercy for each and every one of us. Keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him. And again, those who love him prove it by keeping his commandments. Most of the time, we pray for what we want. Oh God, I need this, I'd like that. Oh, I'd be just really thrilled if you let me have this. Whatever that might be. A lot of us, we say gimme prayers. Gimme this, gimme that. And we say to God, now, God, here's my plan, here's my idea, and I want you to bless my plan and my idea so I can get this or that. Prayer for God's will, is what we need to be praying for, not ours. You know, God is a wonderful parent. He wants to give us blessings. But if we ask for it in the wrong way, most likely is not going to bless us at all. We have more lessons to learn about God and his will. We have to be living by his will to receive his blessings. We just can't say, hey, this is my plan. I want you to bless it for me. Ask God what his plan is and how he wants you to think on anything. You know, if it's going out to buy a new car or an old car or even go to the grocery store, God, give me what I need. Thank you for your blessings. Pray that your will is for me in this. God is more apt to bless you with that. We need to pray for God's will, not ours. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll read verses 14 through 18. Let's do that. That's 6, 14 through 18. Chapter 6, that is. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And the answer is none. And what communion has light with darkness? None. You know, what could we talk with somebody that is living a different kind of life than what God wants us to live? We have no communion. We have nothing in common to talk about. Then in verse 15, and what accord has Christ with Belial, which is Satan? The answer is none. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? None. There is nothing really to talk about there. No conversation that you could have or even would want to have. Why would you want to have an unbeliever's ideas and thoughts to be cramming into your brain in the first place? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? None. We are the temple of God, for you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Come out from among them and be separate. Be separate. You know, we can be cordial to somebody, our neighbors or the people that we work with. Be cordial with them, letting God's light shine through us to show them that we are separate, to show them that we are thinking differently, to show them that we are guided by God. They won't stay friends very long, probably, because that's the difference. They wanted to have somebody to think the way they do and have that kind of a conversation. Says the Lord, Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Leave these things alone in your life. Don't desire to dwell among unbelievers in that way. Again, be cordial. You want to let God's light shine through you as an example for them. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He wants us to be separate. He wants us to be separate in this life. We have a lot to learn. Each one of us has a tremendous amount yet to learn. And through prayer and fasting and Bible study and practicing the character of God in Jesus Christ, we need to practice that and make these habits alive in our life. That is what God's will is in a nutshell. In closing, I don't have a long sermon today, but one to make these points. But in closing, again, this is just the start of knowing God's will. No matter where we are in our conversation and our conversion, our conversation and the way we're living, and then in our conversion, are we changing? Or are we just in neutral, stuck in neutral and not moving and not learning? We had better get on the stick, so to speak. Better get on the stick so that we can learn and be ready. None of us have tomorrow promised to us. God already, from the beginning, has the number of days and hours and seconds that we are to live. We don't know what that is. Only God the Father can change that. We must spend the rest of our lives studying God's Word daily. We desperately need that spiritual food. Each and every one of us do. We need it daily. And we need to look forward to the spring holy days that are coming up here, the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread and Pentecost and so on. We need to start studying now because, you know, we are to look at ourselves and examine ourselves before we take the Passover. This would be a good time to really get into that right now, to be ready to take the Passover so that we don't take it unworthily or wrongly. We want to show God that we obey Him and that we want to take that Passover the way that He wants us to take it. So let's do this. Let's continue in our daily Bible study to read about God's will, how He wants us to be, how He wants us to live, and to thank God for sending us His angels to guide us. And we have God's Bible to read and to have God to speak to us through His Scriptures. God has called us. He has separated us. We are set apart. We are sanctified. And our calling is not a mistake. None of us are sitting here today because we just says, well, yeah, I just want to go be with that group. They're a nice group of people. No. You're here for a special purpose. Special purpose is to learn the will of God. And that's where we need to be. Good to see y'all.